The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 38, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 9th, 2011, in Wellington, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text number 38. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nahi jnane na sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yogasam siddha kalinatmani vindati. Nahi jnane na sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yogasam siddha kalinatmani vindati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Purport. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. And when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Shri Guru Shri Jada Bhadakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, there's a big difference between speculative knowledge and the revealed knowledge of a person who is fixed in Krishna consciousness. The jnanis, they study the Vedas. They work very hard to study the Vedas, especially Vedanta Sutra, to squeeze out some impersonal understanding that there is only Brahman and nothing but Brahman. But such persons can never actually relish the sweet transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains they can only realize the Sat feature. There are three features of the Absolute Truth described in the revealed scriptures. Sat, eternity; Chit, knowledge; and Ananda, or bliss. So the jnanis, all they can realize is the Sat feature. The yogi is a little higher. They come to the Paramatma realization. They can realize the Chit feature of the Supreme. But only the bhaktas, the devotees, can come to the highest platform, Bhagavan realization, and achieve Ananda. So what's the use of working so hard to be self-realized, to become Brahman-realized or Paramatma-realized, if there's no Ananda? What's the point? What good is spiritual enlightenment if you're not happy, if you're not tasting the nectar? Therefore, the pathway given by Krishna here in the Bhagavad Gita, it is the best pathway. Because when you realize Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through sincere loving service, then you get that Ananda, the quality of the Bhagavan realized person. You also get the Chit realization, the quality of the Paramatma realized person. And you get the Sat realization also. In other words, if you have $1 billion, then you already have $1 million. And you already have $100,000. So one who realizes the Supreme Absolute Truth as a person, through loving relationship with that person, whatever is realized by the yogis or by the jnanis, he has that automatically included within his realization. He doesn't need to separately endeavor to achieve the perfection of yoga or jnana. He automatically gets these things. Krishna is so nicely explaining here. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. There are various types of mysticism, you see. There's a mysticism of the jnanis and yogis, but their fruit is not the mature fruit. It is not fully ripened. When one comes to the Bhagavan platform through devotional service, then one has the mature fruit of mysticism, the mature fruit of all mysticism. And this knowledge is so sweet, it is so sublime, that once you achieve this perfection of Krishna consciousness, knowing who is Krishna, knowing who you are in relationship with Krishna, knowing what the entire universe is in relationship with Krishna, what is the entire universe in relationship with you, everything becomes perfectly understood. When one comes to this platform, then he relishes life like anything. It doesn't matter what his external situation may be. He may have a lot of money, he may be a poor man, it doesn't matter. He may be a famous person. Never know him every. He may be a completely unknown person. It doesn't matter. He may be beautiful. He may be ugly. He may be healthy. He may be sick. He may be powerful. He may be weak. He may be a young man, an old man. He may be a woman. It doesn't matter the position in the material existence. You can be a retired person. You can be a businessman. You can be a professional IT specialist. It doesn't matter what you are externally. Once you actually become mature in your practice of Krishna consciousness, then you will relish the sweet happiness. Just that consciousness, that realization alone will fully satisfy you, no matter what the externals may be. So this is a very, very significant verse. And as Prabhupada has confirmed in his purport, that is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. You may say, well, how can Prabhupada say that? I mean, isn't the last word in text in chapter 18, text 78, Yatra Yeshvara Krishna? How he can say here in chapter 4, text 38, which is not even halfway through the Bhagavad Gita, how we can say this is the last word? When Krishna has so many words to say after this verse, you see. But yet Srila Prabhupada, with his transcendental realization, is confirming this is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. In other words, this verse actually contains the whole Bhagavad Gita knowledge within it. That's the meaning of the last word. If you can understand this one verse perfectly, you'll become a perfectly self-realized person. Just this one verse, if you can understand it perfectly, you'll become a perfectly self-realized person. And what is it emphasized? The perfection of yoga. Tat svayam yoga sang siddha. You see? That siddhi, that complete siddhi. Siddhi is perfection. It's like sankirtan. Kirtan and sankirtan. The siddhi and sang siddhi. The complete kirtan is one thing, but when we become a big group of devotees, it's sankirtan. You see? I can chant on my own, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When we come together and chant, that sankirtan is more powerful. So there is siddhi, or perfection. But when you have sang siddhi, it's described in this, yoga sang siddhi, then it is much more powerful thing. It is the perfection, you see. Of course, we have to wait for it. Krishna says kalena in the course of time. So it doesn't happen immediately. Although sometimes it does happen immediately. There are cases of people who attain the highest perfection immediately. You know that Maharaj Katvanga? Yeah. He was a powerful Kshatriya on the earth planet. Very powerful Kshatriya. And the heavenly planets are not always so heavenly. Svarga is not always the most heavenly place. Even though it certainly seems like it from the scriptural descriptions. The apsaras and the gandharvas and, you know, the music and the dancing girls and the somaras. Sounds pretty, pretty heavenly. Like an ideal vacation spot. But actually, that place is sometimes attacked by the demons. The demons sometimes come and they kick Indra out of his position. They come and, okay, we're taking over this place. Like the terrorists coming in, you know, okay, we're taking over the government. Come in with the machine guns in the parliament building. Or like in Fiji, you know, they come in. It seems all peaceful, but then all of a sudden somebody comes into the parliament building and pulls out a revolver and says, okay, this is a coup, you see. So, and there's a whole disruption. So that happens sometimes in the heavenly planets. The demons actually come and they take over. So the demons were attacking in the heavenly kingdom, and the demigods did not have the power to repel the attack of the demons. But they knew there's this powerful king. He was only an earthly king, Katvanga Maharaj. He's a powerful earthly king. They said, will you please come and you fight these demons? Please help us. We need your help. So he agreed. And he fought for many, many, many long years with great power and determination, and he defeated the demons. He saved the demigods from the attack of the demons. And they were so grateful, Maharaj Kadvanga, you have saved us from the demons now. Whatever boon you want, we have great powers as demigods, universal controllers, we have great powers. Whatever boon you like, you just ask us what you like and we will give. So he was in, see, the kings in those days, they weren't ordinary politicians looking, they weren't opportunists like today. You know, they were actually taken, it was their duty. They were born in the royal family. They were just, it was a duty they were given, that's all. They weren't like greedy opportunists like the politicians today, you know. But it was a duty given. They were born in the royal family, and this is your duty, my dear son. You, when I give up the kingdom and you take it over, this is your service to the people of the country. Your service to the citizens is to be a proper ruler, you see. They weren't opportunists. They were servants. These kings were great transcendentalists, actually. They were called Raja and Rishi at the same time. They were king or Raja, but they were Rishi. They were saint also. So you take Raja Rishi, it becomes Rajarshi. These are Rajarshis. So he was a great Rajarshi. They were learned in transcendental realization. The Brahmin class and the Kshatriya class both were highly learned in transcendental realization. So when the demigods offered him whatever boon he wanted, he said, just tell me when I'm going to die. That's all. The only boon I ask. When am I going to die? And he said, well, yeah, actually your death is coming just now. Just now coming. He said, thank you very much. He took shelter of Krishna and immediately achieved perfection. You see. So sometimes it happens. Someone's going to achieve perfection immediately. Like Kadvanga Maharaj. But generally, for us common folks, it's a whole lifetime of practice, you see. We put a whole life, we invest an entire lifetime in this process. And that way we gradually make progress. And as Krishna says, kale natmani, in due course of time. So it does come in course of time. If one will every day apply himself to this process given by the great acharyas, faithfully execute the principles of bhakti in his life. And what is the essential thing? Remember Krishna. Sometimes people can't follow all these rules and regulations. We have somebody just wrote me, a very nice, sincere lady. She's a handicapped lady, actually. She's a very sincere lady. But she's chanting Hare Krishna and loving it, and she's reading the books about all these rules and regulations. She says, I don't know if I can handle this. I said, oh, don't worry. Just keep chanting. Just keep going deeper and deeper into the sweet nectarian ocean of Krishna's name. And then naturally, you'll find that you'll be following all these rules and regulations in due course. You see? Because once you get a taste for the name, it's so sweet, it's so relishful. You think, well, how can I get more of this? And then you hear, well, by following these different principles, you can get more and more nectar from the name, you see. So it's not that we follow the rules for the sake of following the rules. We follow different rules and regulations, like no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. These are followed for the purpose of increasing our Krishna consciousness, not for their own sake. If one follows the rules just for their own sake, that's fanaticism. And such fanaticism is described by Rupa Goswami as niyam agraha, a cause for falling down from the spiritual platform. So we don't encourage anyone to artificially follow any rules and regulations. We introduce to everyone the sublime principle of chanting the holy names of the Lord with love. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because once you get that taste, once you actually feel how you're connecting with God through loving service, that taste is so sublime, it's so wonderful, it's so enlightening, it's so uplifting, it's so thrilling, it's such that the greatest adventure you could ever imagine. It's like I'm traveling all over the world with my world preaching tours in every continent, but that's nothing compared. The adventure of circling the globe to see all these different countries in the world is nothing compared to the adventure of picking up that bead bag and taking those beads in your fingers and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why? Because that chanting will take you through the coverings of the material universe. That chanting will actually take you into the spiritual sky. If you think this world is an amazing place, then just wait till you see the spiritual sky. This is the slum of the God's creation. This is the slums. If you think the slums are interesting and beautiful, just wait till you get to wait till you move uptown and get to the spiritual, the 3/4 portion of God's creation. You see, this 1/4 portion is the slums. And then you can cross the Paravyoma River. The Viraja River, into the Paravyoma. Now we're in the Aparavyoma, the material sky. By the power of this chanting, by getting your ticket on Hare Krishna Airlines. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can actually penetrate that airplane, this mancha vimana, will actually carry you through the thick coverings of the universe, which are millions and billions, trillions, quadrillions of miles thick, heavy-duty coverings. You could never get through it with NASA. Could never break through it with any of their rocket ships. No way. So this mantra of Vimana will actually carry you through those coverings into that wondrous spiritual sky where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, where everything is made of touchstones which turn iron into gold. It's just full. It's full of the most valuable gems. The tree will give you any fruit you want. If you want mango, you get mango. You want popo or papaya, you will get papaya. You want some peach, or you want some pineapple, you want some cherries, whatever you want, the desire tree will give you whatever fruit you like, you see. They're called wish-fulfilling trees, kalpa vriksha. And the cows give the most ambrosial milk you could ever imagine. The Kamadhenu, the amazing cows. And Krishna's pastimes are going there, and you don't have to report to work on Monday morning. You don't have to worry about income tax or about getting old or going to the doctor. I got this sickness. You don't have to worry about going deaf and wearing a hearing aid or, getting some glasses because you can't see anymore. To worry about air pollution or Al Qaeda, launching a terrorist attack. It's a complete nectarian world. Where everybody is, there's just pure unlimited varieties of loving relationships between Krishna and his devotees. And there's beautiful music going on all the time, and beautiful, the most incredible prasadam. If you want to eat a million gulab jamuns, no problem, you won't get sick. If you feel like fasting, you can do that too. If you don't even want it, you can eat or not eat. You don't require to eat, you don't have to bother going to the toilet. It's just a complete nectarian, purely spiritual place. And this Hare Krishna mantra will take you there. All you have to do is sincerely follow the instructions here in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita tells you everything you need to know. It's everything you need to know how to achieve complete perfection to where you can actually see Krishna face to face, eye to eye, even in this very body, Prabhupada said. I heard a lecture just two nights ago as I was traveling to give a lecture in Auckland. I was hearing it on my MP3 player, how even in this very body, you can directly associate with God. You can see Him, you can touch Him, you can eat with Him, you can dance with Him, even within this very lifetime. You see? Simply through this process of bhakti. If you take up this chanting process very seriously, you see, then you can directly associate with God. You can see God face to face. And then when I heard that, I remembered that letter I got from Prabhupada back in 1972, I think it was. And I went, wow, that's what Prabhupada was talking about. He wrote me one letter. He said that if you will simply engage in the service of Krishna with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day, then Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. And I went, well, he's talking about spiritual perfection. And it actually is a real thing. In other words, Prabhupada is already there. He can direct, even when Prabhupada was here, walking around the earth planet, coming to New Zealand or going to Australia or India, wherever he went, he was constantly in contact, direct contact with Krishna, just like sitting and talking with somebody. Prabhupada even said that Krishna wrote these purports. Actually, these purports, someone says, well, I just want to hear from what Krishna says. But actually, the purports are also the words of Krishna through the medium of Srila Prabhupada. So every word of Srila Prabhupada's books is actually is Krishna's words. And Prabhupada is just acting as the medium through which Krishna is transmitting this knowledge. So, that exalted state of pure Krishna consciousness is available for each and every one of us. We simply have to take up the process, as described very clearly and distinctly by His Divine Grace, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. It begins, the first step is called Shraddha. You have to have faith in the process. If you don't have faith in it, how could you even, come to the temple? Or even pick up a book? There's some degree of preliminary faith to read the book, to come to the temple, to, welcome the devotees into your home, etc. There's some faith there. So all of you have that faith. That's why you're here today. The next step is Sadhu Sangha. That means you associate with devotees. You're doing that now. You're here at the temple. You're associating with devotees. And then the next stage, Rupa Goswami explains, is called Bhajana Kriya. The Bhajana Kriya stage means you see the devotees are doing different things. They give up illicit sex, they give up intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, they chant on the beads, they get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. And this way you see what the devotees are doing, what are their activities, their bhajana activities, bhajana kriya, and you do that. You also take up these principles, you also get initiated. Now you've achieved the stage known as bhajana kriya. And now the next stage is where you've really got to roll up your sleeves and get to work. That's called anartha nivritti. Because for millions and billions of lifetimes, we have accumulated so many layers of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy in our hearts. It's very thick crud accumulated for millions and billions of lifetimes. So the anartha nivritti stage means by following the orders of your spiritual master, by doing things for His pleasure and satisfaction, always thinking of pleasing your Guru Maharaj by your thoughts, your words, and your deeds, that burns away all of that crud. Gradually it burns away. Every time you pick up your beads, with each bead you chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. With each bead that you chant, you become more and more purified. And if you keep following this process, then gradually you'll come through that very, very essential stage, the stage of anartha nivritti, and you'll become a fixed-up devotee. When you get all this crud cleaned out of your heart, and there's hardly any disturbances now in your Krishna consciousness, you're practically Krishna conscious all the time, 99%, you see. You're always practically always fixed in Krishna consciousness. Very little disturbance, very, very little disturbance. That's called the Nishta stage, described by Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur in the Madhurya Kadambini. There's very little interruption. You finally come through anartha nivritti, you get to Nishta, and now there's very little disturbance. And then when that disturbance goes down even further, you come to the Ruchi stage. When it becomes even less, you come to the Asakti stage. And then finally, at the point of prema, it's zero disturbances. So, every one of us is somewhere along this progression, from Shraddha all the way to Prema. So wherever we are, we should not be content. As they say, there's a saying in English, rest on your laurels. That I have this award. I think they used to use a laurel as an award in the early day Olympics in Greece. Some kind of a wreath. Well, I have this award, so now I can just sit back and coast. No. But now I've initiated, so I can just say, I'm initiated, Prabhu. I'm second initiated, so I'm an advanced devotee, so you better respect me because I'm an advanced devotee, or I'm a sannyasi, or I'm a guru, or something like, no. I'm a GBC, or I'm this or that. No, you can't rest on your laurels and just claim some status and position. No, every one of us have to realize that we need to keep moving forward. We have to always try to develop more humility, more purity of consciousness, a deeper attraction for Krishna. We have to always be pushing forward in our Krishna consciousness, whatever level we're on. keep trying to advance every day. This is another day to advance myself further in Krishna consciousness. If one will always be in this mood, then you'll make steady progress. If every day you try to advance in Krishna consciousness, sincerely try to make further advancement along this pathway, then lo and behold, after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you'll see a tremendous difference in your consciousness, an amazing transformation of consciousness as you gradually go step by step closer to the ultimate perfection of Krishna Prema. So we have, I think, I don't know exactly the schedule, but it's pretty well near the end of the allotted time right now. Yeah, but I could ask if there's some questions. Okay.
Just the other day, I heard when we reach the Ruchi stage, there's very little chance of Maya attacking us.
Mm-hmm.
We can say, no, thank you.
Yeah, it's described in the Madhurya Kadambini, and the Ruchi stage, there's very, very little disturbance in that stage.
So, but then on the same note, I've also heard that Maya can attack the strongest of devotees, and there are examples of really stalwart devotees falling down.
It does happen, yes. So, even on the Bhava stage, we read that Maharaj Bharat fell down, and he was beyond Ruchi. He was Banasakti. He was just on the precincts of pure bhakti. But even then, he fell down in the Bhava state. And also, the same thing we read about Biva Mangala Thakur had attained the Bhava stage also. So you're not really home free even when you achieve Bhava. You're not really home free till you achieve Prema. But even on the Prema stage, one doesn't think, oh, now I can... Prabhupada was on the level of praying, but he told us in Boston, he says, I'm always praying to Krishna that I will not fall down. So one never, even on the Bhava stage, the Prema stage that Prabhupada was, he humbly placed himself as a struggling neophyte, begging Krishna to protect him.
So it's just like a relative thing as compared to the... It's just a relative progression as compared to the earlier stages. In the Ruchi stage, it's relatively stronger.
Of course. The Ruchi stage means you develop through the process of Krishna Bhakti becomes very, very tasty. Ruchi means taste.
Yeah.
It becomes very delicious. Whether you can take prasadam and that's delicious, or you can fast and that's also delicious, you see. The whole process becomes very delicious. It's relishable, very, very relishable. Like just, you know, like the ultimate glob jamun at every minute. That's ruchi, you see. It's very, very tasty and sweet. It's just relishing the sweetest taste at every minute. That's ruchi state. Other question? Yeah.
If everything we need to know to get to Krishna consciousness is in the Bhagavad Gita, so how important is it to read the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Yes, these books, the science, it's the same science. These Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita present the same science of the Bhagavad Gita, but in more detail, in greater depth. So, to really perfect your understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, you need to study the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That will deepen your understanding of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita, everything is here, but we're not perfect in our understanding, you see. So if you will study the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then your comprehension of the Bhagavad Gita will increase 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. So yes, you must study them, all those books. Study all of Prabhupada's books. There's a reason he gave every one of Srila Prabhupada's books must be studied. Everyone should read all of Prabhupada's books. Other books are not so necessary. They can be read, but actually you shouldn't. Should just in the beginning read all the Prabhupada's books. We have many books published in ISKCON by other devotees now, but they are of secondary importance. Our primary source of information is always Prabhupada's books. So that's the basis. That is our curriculum here. Other books are extracurricular. They are secondary. But the primary subject matter is all the books that Prabhupada has given us. These should be studied very scrutinizingly again and again and again throughout our entire lives. And this way we'll become perfect in understanding Bhagavad Gita. Nice question. Thank you. Okay.
Just a quick one, please. You mentioned everything we should do should be for the happiness of the spiritual master. Were you referring to Krishna as a spiritual master or as the book says, a bona fide spiritual master?
So when I say the spiritual master, who am I referring to?
Yes, please.
Both. You can't really separate pleasing Krishna from pleasing the spiritual master because it's a package deal. You can't say, well, I'll just take Krishna and I won't take Guru. Well, what does Krishna say about that in the Adi Purana? Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakta nancha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, O Sanaprita, ye me bhakta jana parata, that man, O Sanaprita, who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. But then he says, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna? Great. Now find out from Krishna how to become his devotee. He says, here's how you do it. You become the devotee of my devotee. So you cannot separate.
Not possible. The reason I asked this was because one of the books I'm just going through says a blindfold faith in the spiritual master is condemned.
Yes, actually Prabhupada, that's a fact. It is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34, purport. Precisely. Prabhupada says, blind following is condemned. So you should not blindly follow a spiritual master. I did that at a certain point before I came in crossed contact with this movement. I blindly accepted a spiritual master. He taught me, I paid a whole month's rent to get initiated. You had to pay for your initiation, you see. It's like buying a product. I paid 1 month's rent for my diksha, and I got one mantra, aing, 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 aing. And what did it do for me? It made me more depressed than I was before. So don't blindly, you have to have transcendental knowledge of what are the symptoms of bona fide spiritual master. That's given in the Mundaka Upanishad. Tadviganartam saguru meva abhigachat samit pranihi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. Shrotiyam means he is learned in the Vedic wisdom. He presents the Vedic wisdom as it has come down through an authorized line of teachers. That is the meaning of Shrotiyam. And Brahmanishtam means he is fixed in Krishna consciousness. So you have to find a teacher. You should not blindly go for a guru. You should have a scriptural basis for understanding what is guru. Because 99.99% of the gurus walking around the planet now are charlatans. They deserve to be put in jail, actually, what they're doing. So it's very rare, it's stated in the Puranas, it's very easy to find a guru who can take away your money. But it's very difficult to find a guru who can take away your anxiety. See, the bona fide spiritual master, he robs you of your anxiety, not your picture pocket. You see. So we have to have knowledge. What is a bona fide spiritual master? By studying the words of Krishna and studying the Vedic wisdom. And then armed with that knowledge from Krishna himself, we can understand what to look for in that person who will be our link with Krishna, so we can get properly connected. Jai Shri Shri Ganitai. So that answers your question, Prabhu? Oh, very good. Any other question? Yes.
How can we develop more faith?
More faith. Very good question. The word nishta, which is in that stage after anartanavritti, as opposed to the word shraddha, which means faith. Nishta means firm faith. So the way to go from faith, preliminary faith, or shraddha, to firm faith is very simple. Associate with a devotee, follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, bhajana kriya, initiation, following the rules and regulations, and then cleansing all the dirt out of your heart, then your faith will become very solid. So if right now I'm feeling so much skepticism in my heart, it's due to my impurities. By reading the books, that will help you a lot. The more you study Prabhupada's books, by the purification of Srila Prabhupada's words, you will you come, the doubts will naturally go away by associating with devotees who have very firm faith, who are very strong in their faith. By that association, it rubs off on you. So in this way, by associating with Prabhupada's books, by associating with senior devotees, and by very carefully and sincerely following this process without deviation, strictly following the rules and regulations, then your faith will grow by leaps and bounds. And you'll achieve that stage of nishtha in due course. Any other question? Yes.
Sometimes I'm quite hard on myself because of my lack of progress. Do you think that being hard on yourself is helpful or an
Definitely.
Is helpful?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Prabhupada said you should be very strict on yourself and lenient on others. You should be your staunchest critic, your own staunchest critic.
Okay.
I was giving a seminar, a two-day seminar on this pathway from Shraddha to Prema in Govinda Valley over there in Australia. And naturally, when you look at all these levels, well, where am I on these levels? Everyone would naturally think, well, where am I along this scale, you know? And the only thing I could really conclude was I was a despicable rascal. That was the only thing I could really solidly conclude. When I hadn't read about all these exalted states, I said, well, I'm nothing but a despicable rascal. That's the only thing I can really solidly understand about myself. So in this way, the more you can feel that you're a despicable rascal, then you're making some progress. You're a despicable rascal. That's how you should feel about yourself. As far as I'm concerned, you're a great saint, you see. Because you've come to Krishna. I saw you nicely chanting this morning his holy name. So as far as I'm concerned, you're a great saint. From your side, you should think I'm just the most despicable rascal.
I'll keep it up then, thank you.
Okay, anything else? All right.
I'm just wondering, there's a variety of spiritual masters, there's a lot of spiritual masters around in ISKCON. And I'm just wondering, does the Krishna deliver the spiritual master to you? And if you're aspiring, why is it sometimes so difficult to make a decision on which particular spiritual master to take?
Debbie, can you summarize it?
She says in ISKCON there are so many spiritual masters.
It used to be so easy in the old days. It was just Prabhupada and that was it. Okay. Yeah?
And then she says even if you come in contact with one spiritual master, and yet it is so difficult to make the decision who you want to take children.
It's difficult to make the decision?
Yeah.
So what's the question?
So
how do you make the decision?
Yeah.
I've been asked this question many times. And it's a very important question. I mean, we could, in a lighthearted way answer, but that's not really proper. Say, put all their names in a hat and draw, we could say something, but that's not really proper. Because actually the spiritual master is the very person that Krishna has planned for you. In other words, that spiritual, Krishna is a perfect knower of past, present, and future. And he already knows who your spiritual master is. You don't know yet, but Krishna knows. So it's a very, very special thing. It's not just some, whimsical thing. No, it's a very, very special thing because that your spiritual master is you have an eternal relationship with him. It doesn't end with this body. It goes on in the spiritual sky for all of eternity. So it's a very, very special thing. And the only thing I can really advise you, Mataji, is as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 10, text number 10, Tesham satata yukranam bhajatam priti purvakam dhatami buddhiyogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. For those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So is choosing your guru part of coming to Krishna? Of course it is. It's practically the most important decision you'll make in your entire life, deciding who your spiritual master would be. So will Krishna help you and guide you? Of course he will. He promises he will in the Bhagavad Gita. So all you really have to do is be a very sincere devotee, always in the mood of bhakti. Tesham satata yuktanam. Satatam means always, 24 hours a day. If you put yourself in the mood of bhakti, and whenever you see you're not in the mood of bhakti, you say, Krishna, please get me back in the mood of bhakti. So keep yourself always in that mood of devotion, 24 hours a day, and always try to get yourself back. Whenever you see you're slipping out of it, try to get back into it right away. If you take that mood, then I guarantee you that Krishna, who is seated in your heart as Chaitya Guru, he will tell you, here's your, now you've just met your Guru. Here he is. Krishna is Chaitya Guru within the heart, and he experiences externally in the form of the spiritual master. So every devotee has a, if you ask different devotees how they found, just like Jagdevan Prabhu told me about how he connected with his spiritual master, you see. You could ask devotees how they realized who their spiritual master was. You can get all the how I found my guru stories. You can ask other devotees, you know, how did you realize this person was your spiritual master? That could help you. But the main thing is you just have to have in that mood of always wanting to be in Krishna consciousness. If you have that mood of always wanting to be fixed 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will help you. Just realize who your spiritual master is. I know the time is really going overboard now, and I want to keep in good relationships with our management here. in one temple, actually in Riga, I was staunchly warned by going overtime because it was cutting into the breakfast. And they have a very tight schedule. I was very strongly informed by the temple president. I had to hold to the schedule. And so I've done that. I have a good relationship with them. So I always try to maintain a good relationship wherever I go, because Prabhupada told me in one letter, do whatever the temple president says. So here I am. I have to obey the temple president. Okay, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. If you can kindly continue in this way, always cultivating devotional service within your heart and always sharing Krishna consciousness with everyone you meet. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.